Again, if I can get this thing to work here, we'll have a reading from Matthew 18, 21 through 35 from the New King James Version. Sorry about this. Okay, here we go. Then Peter came to him and said, "Look, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but to 70 times seven. Therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But he was not able to pay. His master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, that payment may be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, 'Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' Then the master of the servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But the servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid his hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, 'Pay me what you owe me.' So his fellow servant fell down and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went through him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved, and came and told their master all that had been done. This thing just will not cooperate with me. Okay, he had called him and said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?' And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses."
We will not be breaking down this parable this evening, as might be a lesson, just to break it down and understand how that it's explaining how God will treat us if we don't appreciate what he's given us in forgiveness and not forgiving others. But we're going to use it as a launching point for a lesson about forgiveness tonight. I want to thank Don for doing that. I managed to lose my glasses again this afternoon, and so he saved me a lengthy reading, and I appreciate him doing that. And I appreciate the opportunity to be up here tonight. We're going to talk about forgiveness. I would like to say that I'm a little hurt. Matt was able to pack a building with no lights this morning, and I purposely didn't announce I was going to be speaking tonight, and yet still people managed to find out and not show up. But I'll deal with them later. But using this text to launch into a lesson about forgiveness. I thought it applicable since the last time I spoke to you, it was about love. And there's been much discussion about forgiveness during the last month with Josh's lessons about the prodigal son. Some other situations have come up where forgiveness, repentance has been evident, and forgiveness is supposed to follow. And so I thought a good place to start tonight to speak. You know, forgiveness is mentioned 121 times in the Bible. Pretty significant issue. Whether it's God's forgiveness for us, our forgiveness for one another, our asking for forgiveness, our instruction to ask for forgiveness. Well, I see that there are three kinds of forgiveness. There's the forgiveness that's asked for, the forgiveness not asked for, but that we still have to give, It's necessary that we give it. And there's the forgiveness that we give in spite of the offender. Someone who doesn't want to be forgiven. Someone who purposely would want to harm us. And yet it's necessary that we forgive. It's not in man's nature to want to forgive. But it's important that we do as Christians. We notice that forgiveness is universal to mankind. We see, and of course you know how I feel about Catholicism, even with all the good works worldwide that John Paul II was able to do. But it's important that we understand that he saw that forgiveness was necessary. That forgiveness is above all a personal choice, a decision. We either choose to forgive or not to forgive. And that's important that he understood that and we understand it. It's a decision of the heart to go against the natural instincts to pay back evil with evil. Yes, it is our nature. You hurt me, I want to hurt you back. Because it makes me feel justified. It makes me feel empowered over you rather than you over me. But, look on. What did Gandhi say? A Hindu. Even the Hindu faith understands forgiveness is necessary. Gandhi said, the weak can never forgive. Forgiveness is the attribute of the strong. Yes, see, we have to be strong to overcome our desire to hurt a person back. It's not in our nature to forgive. Therefore, we are strong when we do it, but we're weak when we can't. And trust me, I'm not endorsing any of these folks and their religions. I'm showing you how that God's plan for mankind has been translated into all these other religions because they saw the necessity for it, for the man to forgive, for the man and woman to shed that burden. And we see here where the Dalai Lama, who is a Buddhist, a Tibetan Buddhist, it has to be, it's an important part of our daily lives. Forgiveness has to be. Not important that we read the whole thing. Notice what it says in Ephesians. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in the true righteousness of holiness. We're supposed to shed off that old man that we were, that old woman that we were, when we were sinful creatures, when we walked in the world like everyone else does. And we put on the new creature in baptism. When we were baptized, we were supposed to come up out of that water a new creature. And hopefully that happened to every one of us. We come out of there with a joy overwhelming us that we are ready to be somebody new. Pretty much the same thing is stated in Colossians 3:10. Do not lie one to another. So see right there. That ended that day. We have a love bond between us. We should never lie to one another. That we need... We're not ready for that. Not yet. We should never have an issue where we need to ask each other's forgiveness, but we also need to have that opening that we can when it's necessary. Okay, so do not lie to one another. Since you have put off the old man and his deeds and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him, God, who created him, Jesus, or our new man, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ in and in all, is all and in all. Okay? Can I honestly say that in everything I do, Christ lives? Every action I take, every thought I have, every interaction I have with my wife, with my mother, with my brothers and sisters, with the people of the world, with my children, is Christ alive every minute of the day? Probably not. I would hope that I'm better today than I was yesterday. I would hope that at my age I'm better than I was when I was 16 and obeyed the gospel. At my age, I hope tomorrow I'm a better man than I am today, and growth. But the truth of the matter is, there are going to be times I'm going to fail. And I'm going to have to either ask forgiveness of you, my wife, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, or I'm going to ask forgiveness of God for failing him in some way. But as we're supposed to be this new man, we come out of the waters of baptism with great zeal. Trust me, at my house, it wouldn't be there. Not a matter of temptation. It would be gone. But we come out of the water with this great zeal, this excitement about being a new creature. And then it starts to creep in on us. Sin begins to trickle in. Okay. Sorry. I want to make sure where I was at. You know, the allure, the calling of sin. Because it's who we used to be, and it's still there in us. And we begin to think, just one drink won't hurt. One drink might help me get over this moment. I'm having stress at work, and maybe one drink. Or just one hand of cards with friends. You know, that I won't go back to the gambling like I used to do. Or you're cleaning your room, and you find some marijuana that you'd forgotten you hid there. Oh, well, it's here. Okay? How about just a quick little peek at some things on the computer I shouldn't be looking at? You know, because it's a strong, and trust me, that addiction is stronger than any drug or alcohol. Okay? And that's not just men anymore. That used to be true. The internet has created a situation where there are almost as many women using pornography on the computer as men. And it has a very strong draw to want to bring you back to it even when you've tried to shut it off. Or how about just one peek at the neighbor lady who happens to be out in the yard or whatever reason a man might be drawn to look at a woman that he shouldn't be looking at. We have a little free one on the side here today. And if I offend anyone, it's not because I purposely want animosity between you and me. It's just an issue that's happening. And I wish to share with you. Pam and I were at Walmart the other night. We saw a young lady who was wearing a pair of those yoga pants. And it was the kind of situation where we discussed it between us, so I'm not saying something out of school here. We discussed it, what we saw, and pretty much any man would want to just aimlessly push his cart around Walmart, throwing things in to follow her around. Why did she come dressed like that? Because she wanted someone to look at her. The house we're working on, me and the guys were there the other day. I'm standing at the front step on my way to the truck. I stopped to let a young lady coming home from school get by. I noticed her hair was pink, which is what drew my attention. I also know her undergarments were pink, because I could see them through the black yoga pants, which means they're too tight and too thin. Why are ladies going out like this? It's like wearing a sign that says, look here. Okay? And they're starting to come in here. Please wear a long shirt over them or something. I know we want to look like what is current. I never had that problem. But I know young people do. And actually, I saw a lady old enough being my mother doing that the other day. That was scary, too. So just wear something long enough to cover the vital areas, please. If you're going to wear them, you know, wear something with it. That one's for free. Let's get back to one you're not paying me for. But anyway. These sins, they begin to creep back into our lives. We were a new creature. But now here they come, creeping in on us. And we find ourselves, I left a couple out, they're important. These are very important because it's easy for us to look at those people doing those sins. But how about just a little gossip? Here's some juicy information. And I can call brother or sister so-and-so and share it. And then maybe I'll call the other brother so-and-so and share. Okay, it's sin. It's sin, folks. It's no different than the other things I mentioned. And how about holding a grudge? And here's where the forgiveness comes in. Well, he wronged me. He did something that hurt me. I just can't forgive him. I can't let that go. Now, I won't tell you which one of these I've listed as mine. I had my failings. I would never look at you and go, well, you're all doing something wrong, but I'm good. No. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I think, given we're talking about forgiveness, maybe you can narrow it down. But I think my wife is communicating with Nikki that she knows which one we're talking about. But that's... all right. Forgiveness. Merriam-Webster's dictionary says that to give up resentment of a requital for forgiveness or to forgive an insult. I do apologize for the reading issues tonight. Okay, to give it up. You've given up your claim to reprisal against someone. Okay? To cease to feel resentment. Oh, wait a minute. See, it's not just that I say, okay, you want forgiveness, okay. No. It says, I cease to feel resentment against. Okay? Vines, goes on a little further, signifies remission of the punishment due to sinful conduct. See, here's where God comes into it. He also forgives. And we will see how he shows us that this is the path. Okay? Due to sinful remission of punishment, that would be the deliverance of the sinner from the penalty of divinely and therefore righteously imposed. Okay? If this person had been punished, it would be divinely and it would be righteously. Because God doesn't punish us willy-nilly or just out of his whim. He punishes us divinely and righteously. Secondly, it involves the complete removal of the case of offense. It's gone. It's forgotten. That's where we get hung up as humans. Forgiveness is forgetting it. Removal of the case of offense. Such remission is based upon the various and propitiatory sacrifice of Christ. Okay? We have the basis of forgiveness in Jesus Christ. He died that we might have forgiveness, therefore we forgive as a means of serving him. We notice, as Josh had used the parable of the prodigal son over the last few weeks. He's shown us how the son repented. He asked for forgiveness. The father forgave, and the brother continued to harbor a grudge. It's sinful to harbor a grudge. He wouldn't let it go. But we see the example of all three situations that we can make application in our lives. But let's consider about forgiveness asked for. Luke chapter 17, verses 3. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. Okay. So we rebuke when we have to. If a brother is sinning, he needs us to tell him. I need you to tell me if you see me doing something sinful. Thank you, because you will save my soul. But if a brother or sister asks to be forgiven, you need to forgive them. We saw that as Don read to us, and I appreciate him doing that. Of course, I noticed I asked him to read because I couldn't find my glasses to show off. He read without his glasses on. But that's okay. We see how Jesus said, it's not enough to forgive seven times. It's seven times 70. I always call it the rule of 490. But do you know what it means if you've forgiven somebody to 490? Is it over at that point? No. It doesn't end. If a brother has burned up And I know you're sitting there going, yeah, there's been a couple through the years that burned up for it. It doesn't matter. If he asked to be forgiven 491 times, that's what Jesus is saying. We forgive as long as someone asks to be forgiven. Maybe it's 890 times. As long as it takes. But you know what? I've actually heard in this building, when someone came forward, someone who did it fairly often, more than we would like to see, which meant, you know, if there's more repentance, means there's more sin. Means maybe they don't have enough self-control. It would be good to get more self-control. It would be good if they could shake whatever sin they keep going back to. But you know what? They came forward and they repented again. And I heard someone say, wonder how long it'll last this time. Okay? That's not right. That's not what the scripture says to do. It says to forgive. And then you forget and you move on. If there is a next time, you deal with that when it's time. You rebuke him if you need to. And then you forgive him when he asks for and when he repents. Or how about when you go to a brother and you ask for forgiveness and he says, he or she says, oh, it's no big deal. Well, this, I have wronged you, and I am repenting of that, and I'm asking you to forgive me. And I don't want you to tell me it's no big deal, because that says to me, it is a big deal, that you're not ready to let it go. Now, maybe I'm reading your heart, and I know I don't have the gifts to be able to do that. Maybe I'm wrong. But your body language, your curt nature, unwillingness to say the words to me, I accept your apology. Say to me, well, maybe it still is a big deal to you. And I don't know where to go now with this. Or even worse, be sure, whatever. I will. Thank you. Oh, I forgot I had those up there. Okay, I'm sorry. My technical advisor was giving me advice. I was supposed to have gone through those as I went. I'm still stuck in the old days when you just got up here and preached. I don't know if you remember. I've got this a bit out of order. My mistake. Because this was supposed to be with not asked. But we'll go ahead and go here since we're here. I don't know if you remember this picture from the love lesson I preached last time. We were talking about buses, busloads of people, and needing to love them all. Now, I remember I told you that perhaps this person right here is really good friends with the one sitting next to them. And they love them. They're close. But you know, in the Lord's church, this person has to love that person over there as much as well. Maybe they're not as close to friends. Maybe they don't eat together as often. Maybe they don't have interests outside of the worship together. But there still has to be the love that we're commanded to have one for another. How can we have that love? And that's why I brought it back up. If we don't forgive one another, we can't have love. Because we're told if we hate our brothers, then we do not love the Lord and we do not love the brotherhood. There's forgiveness not asked for that we have to give anyway. When we were at Peru, I probably shouldn't have said where, but I've done that now. Anyway, I know a brother. I think how I'm going to do this because I don't want to. Pam and I ate lunch one day after preaching that morning. We ate lunch with the family. They did not return to services that evening. I got word that that person had been spoken to in a way that they took offense by somebody. walk back in a church building again. I have contacted that person and asked, did I say something at lunch? No, it wasn't you. Well, but are they lying to me? Or who else could it be? And of course the question is, how could somebody say something that could come between you and your soul, you and God, you and Jesus Christ? How could any man or woman say a word or a sentence that would drive you away from the worship? And it's troubled me. And what if I hadn't asked to be forgiven? What if there was ignorance? And let's go back to our busload of people. You think in all that busload of people, there couldn't be somebody who, because of their nature, their way they speak, the way they conduct themselves, the baggage they brought with them from when they were not a Christian, couldn't be offensive in some way or another sometime. Okay? But by forgiving the person who doesn't ask, we free ourselves of the situation. Now, I did try to find out if it was something I had said. There should have been forgiveness if it was. And if it wasn't me, wouldn't forgiveness of the one who did offend ignorantly, wouldn't it be better to forgive them and free yourself of that burden? Because let's face it, in the end, forgiveness is actually a selfish concept. I mean, it doesn't look like it on the surface. It looks like you're doing it for the other person. Don harms me some way. He says, forgive me, Eric. And I say, yes, Don, I'll forgive you. It looks like I'm doing it for Don. But what I'm doing is I'm releasing myself of a burden I had of any grudge I might have held, of any control Don would have over me as I sat home at nights planning his demise. And people do that. People, they do. I'm not saying I have in the past, but they do. Okay, so wouldn't it have been better for this brother to have been a little selfish and free himself of that and say, you're not going to keep me from services. You're not going to come between me and my soul. And someone might say, well, he should have been grounded more in the truth. Well, but that's not our call. Maybe he wasn't. He should have been stronger, but he wasn't. And so we need to find out why, but he needed to be, yes. All right. Matthew chapter 6, verse 12 through 15. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now this is where Jesus is teaching the disciples how to pray. They've asked him how to learn how to pray. And of course, through the genius that was Jesus as the master teacher, as he teaches them to pray, he teaches them other important issues. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Back to the parable that Don has just read for us. How that the one that is God had forgiven much, and then the man turned around and wouldn't forgive a small amount. Well, Jesus is reminding here. He says, okay, we've been forgiven our debts to God. We'll forgive our debtors. And then he goes on to say, I thought 13. There it is, I'm sorry. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. See? So he's saying, you've got to pass it on. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So you need to learn from example. You need to pass it on. God forgives you, you forgive others. If you don't, he won't. So it becomes a selfish thing again. I help myself by forgiving others. The other reason that many times, besides ignorance, the other way that we don't ask for forgiveness is pride. How many marriages would be so much better if people didn't find themselves like this? She wants to fix the problem. He wants to fix the problem. Neither one wants to give in. Brothers and sisters do the same thing. Parents, children do the same thing. It's hard for us to admit we're wrong. It's not the human nature to ask for forgiveness and admit weakness. It makes us feel weak, but we understand, we've already discussed, you're actually stronger if you can get past your natural urges to think you're strong. I'm going to share a couple stories with you that happened through the years, because the only way I can convey this is to make it personal, is we're talking about forgiving and how we need to grow, because it's been hard for me in the past. And I don't know stories about you, nor would I tell them from up here. It wouldn't be right. 1992. Anita, if you don't know, if you're new here, Anita is the former Mrs. Summers, mother of my children. Shortly after Jacob was born, she got breast cancer. And the cancer nearly got her, and we got past that. While she was taking her chemo, she got a bad infection. She got very sick and fought me about going to the doctor until she got so sick that she asked me to just let her die. The doc wouldn't have me stop at a hospital in Kokomo. He said, you get her die, you met. I got her there. She's within hours of dying. Took her 11 days, not only intensive care, but in isolation to hide her from anything else she might have caught because of what had happened to her. I've got four little kids to raise. My wife may die. I happen to have the announcements. I mentioned this had happened this week. And I saw a brother sitting out here in the audience roll his eyes. I don't know if he was saying to me, will you hurry up, I want to go home, or, okay, your wife almost died, yeah, right. I don't know what he was saying. It was hard to get past that, though. Okay? It was hard for me to get past him having offended me in an ignorant manner. He didn't realize he had. I don't know if his love wasn't strong enough for me to be supportive, or, you know, what it was. But I had to learn to forgive that, even though he never asked me forgiveness, because he doesn't know he offended me. Go down to a church south of here, where Max Dawson started preaching. He had recommended me to take over being the preacher there. This is a lot of years ago. They had me down to preach a few times, trying to decide if they were going to hire us full time. I was preaching the night of the state fair. Everyone showed up, ready to go to the state fair as soon as I was done preaching. Made it clear they were in a hurry. My lesson was a little longer than it should be. And the longer I would preach, the more they would fidget, the more they'd look at their watch. 10 minutes in, they're looking at their watch. 20 minutes in, they're pulling the band and looking at the watch. Okay. I was never asked back to preach. Bit offensive, but you got to learn to let these things go. It's been a hard road for me. These are one of my weaknesses. John says in chapter 4, verse 20, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God who he has not seen? We have two choices. We either learn to forgive or we're a liar, because we can't say we love God if we can't get past some issue with our brothers and sisters. And there's the forgiveness in spite of the offender. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Okay, see, we've gone to the next step here. I've been talking about brothers and sisters up till now. We're talking about enemies now. We're talking about people who would purposely harm us, who would insult us because of our Christian faith, who just plain don't like us for who we are. They don't like the way you wear your hair. They don't like the way you dress. You know? These are the kind of people we're talking about. He goes on to say, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That's how we prove to the world that we are cut from different cloth. And unfortunately, sometimes even in the assembly, there could be someone we might consider an enemy. And how sad would that be? I would hope it never happens here. I would hope, but I have seen or know of where people who are supposed to be Christians have put their hands on the preacher because he confronted their sin. A friend of mine was speaking at a church, and he confronted two of the members, a man who was married, but not to the lady he was having an affair with. And when he confronted them, they put their hands on him and tried to do him bodily harm. Okay? But hopefully we're only talking about the world when we talk about an enemy. Hopefully it's never our brothers and sisters. Notice the example we have. We all know this one. Luke tells us in 23, verse 34, and Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they do. Can we have that same kind of strength that Jesus had? He said, well, he was Jesus. He was a man. At that moment, he was a man. He suffered each and every indignity that we would have there, pain that we would have there, embarrassment, loneliness. And he was able to keep his mind together well enough to ask God to forgive those who were hanging him on a cross. Excuse me. Luke again, chapter 11. Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you for your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. Comes with a condition, folks. It's all about forgiveness. Because that's the one we're looking for. There's a fourth one. I showed you the three conditions where man needs to forgive one another. But there's the one where God forgives man. And his forgiveness comes with a condition. One, it won't come without being asked. Whereas we need to forgive one another even without being asked. To free ourselves of that burden. To free ourselves of having to deal with having someone live in our head because of some wrong they did us. Get them out. Forgive them for your own sake. But God won't do that. We have to ask God for forgiveness. But he will forgive us, but only if we forgive others around us. Look again. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great. And you will be the sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and the evil. We need to do good no matter what happens. We need to love our enemies. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. God is merciful. How do I go out then and treat people in a lesser manner? Now, of course, this is not the one we're thinking of, judge not, lest you be judged. But this is also another statement of that. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. So the way you behave in this life is the way God will treat you in the next. Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. Long-suffering, very important as Christians. Bearing one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. You have no choice in the matter. We don't have a choice in the matter. Trust me, I'm not excluding myself here. Forgiveness is at the door. But that forgiveness has to be asked for through repentance. That forgiveness can be earned, but it does require effort on our part. It requires us to have treated others with the same kindness that Christ has used, with the same forgiveness that Christ has given, with the same mercies and long-suffering that we've been given by God. If we don't, we aren't entitled to them. We've been told that already in the scriptures I've read tonight. And we must ask. We must repent of our sins. We must want to be buried with Christ in baptism, as I spoke of earlier. Come up as a new man, a new creature, new woman, excited, full of zeal, hopefully ready to not be dragged back into those temptations, and ready to forgive our brothers and sisters, our enemies, and those who persecute us, just as Christ did, the day he's being sacrificed on our behalf. If there's anyone who needs to repent of sin, if there's anyone who needs to obey the gospel, this would be the time to do it while we stand and sing. There's a